All things are possible now that you're near. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we humbly and reverently approach thy presence this morning, knowing, Father, that you have come down with an appearing in this hour in the form of the pillar of fire, getting us ready, O God, for the going home. And realize, Lord, that this is called the parousia in Scripture. It is the great appearing before the coming. And Lord, you manifested and declared yourself through a prophet, and you vindicated that prophet, Lord. And so, Father, that prophet told us that you would remain here until we are caught up and taken to the millennium. And so, Father, we recognize that you have a plan. And that plan, Lord, we have entered into because we have entered into the shout. And we're now waiting for the voice of the resurrection and the catching away, the trump of God to catch us away. And so, Lord, we ask that you would give us peace and to trust the plan and to believe the plan. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, Wednesday night, we spoke about the following the blueprint and how that when you make a deviation from the blueprint, then you end up in total chaos. And this is like the dream that Brother Bram shared of a brother who dreamed that he was building a house. And he was a contractor, and in his dream, he was dreaming about building a house. And while he was building this house, he came across part of the blueprint, and it had showed a bay window. And so he thought, well, this doesn't belong here. So he didn't put it in. And meanwhile, the owner of the house was down in Florida on a vacation. And when he got back, the house was almost done. And he looked at it and he said, oh, wait a minute, where's my window? And he said, well, I didn't think it belonged there. He said, tear it down, build it right. And so Brother Bram had been talking to this man about how, you know, baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only scriptural baptism there is. You find it in almost every place in Scripture where there speaks of baptism. And if they weren't baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were not baptized in Christian baptism. Now, I know a lot of denominations baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but Father's not a name, Son's not a name, Holy Ghost's not a name. All right, there's only one name whereby we are saved, and that's Jesus Christ. And so, anyway, so then the man said, well, Brother Bram said, he said, where's the water? Brother Bram said, I'll take you to it. So that kind of settled that for them. So if you do not follow the blueprint, he said, tear it down and rebuild it. All right. Now, from the message Abraham, Brother Bram said, now we mustn't walk at this or go at this with a half-hearted attitude. We must go with a full surrendered attitude. We must come to the church and listen to the Bible. And if anything is brought up out of this Bible, believe it. If it's not out of the Bible, then it's up to you. But the Bible is God's foundational plan. It's his plan of redemption. It's his plan of healing. It's the plan of everything that he has is laid out right here. And the Bible said, woe unto him that will add to or take away or take out. This is it. I believe the word. I've been in churches and I watch how people, a lot of times in churches, watch how the pastor acts and the church will act that way. Now, friends, I say this not as a sharp talking, but I just say it as a servant of Christ to be honest with you. Many times they get one another's spirit instead of the Holy Spirit. See? And that's the reason, and when you act, it makes them act alike. Notice that's the reason when I come to you, I know nothing but the Bible. I want you to have the Spirit that's in the Bible, which is the Spirit of Christ. And that's the reason I try to stay in the Word and get nothing but what's in the Word, see, and bring it to the people. So what he's saying is, look, you might have an opinion. That's just your opinion. But when it comes right down to it, we are required by God to believe everything he said, or we're calling God a liar. I wouldn't want to be standing at the white throne judgment and say, well, yeah, I did call you a liar back in so-and-so because I didn't believe it. No, I'd rather take everything he said. And even if I don't understand it, I'm going to believe it anyway because God said so. Now, this morning, we're going to pick up paragraph 31 where Brother Bram said, now, if you notice in the beginning, one word, page one in the Bible, in Genesis, we find out that all sickness, all the sorrow, all the heartaches, and everything that ever happened to human beings came because one person disbelieved one word. It caused it all. That's the first on the Bible. In the last of the Bible, Revelation 22, the same said, whosoever shall take one word or out of this or add one word to it, See, it must be word by word just the way it is. Then he goes on. So therefore, listen, the Bible is very specific. It's not just one word. It's one jot or one tittle. Now, I've been following these cue boards. I don't know if any of you are familiar with it. But, you know, there's a coup going on in America. And it's between the deep state and between the present administration. And so there's risen up a panel of anonymous people. And they call the people that have a cue clearance with the government and call themselves cue. But the thing of it is, they are very specific on every spelling has got to be exactly right. You can't leave one word off or one jot or one tittle off, because all those things, like in the military, if you've ever been in the military, I don't see if you have, they use acronyms. You know, like, I can't even remember them. It's been so many years ago that I was, but they use acronyms. And the acronym means something. And so if you try to repeat the acronym, but you don't have one of the digits right, they don't know what you're talking about. And when you're using encrypted code and you leave one digit off, you're going to mess up the whole program, because they communicate in code. Well, this is our code book. This is God's plan. You know, they say follow the plan, believe the plan, trust the plan. But how do you trust the plan if you don't even know what the plan is? But God does have a plan, and we're going to talk about God's plan this morning. All right? We're going to talk about how not one jot or one tittle of it is going to fail. Period. So Brother Matt says, so therefore, why, just take the little thing like I'm going, and someone always going on to me about the women bobbing their hair. Now to me, as long as she does that, I don't care how saintly she does and how much she knows, she's still wrong. She wears shorts and these clothes like that, and I don't care what she does, how much she can sing or how well she can preach or whatever she can do, what kind of a life she lives, it's still that one word's broken. See, it's got to be every word, not a sentence, a word. One word. So the Bible is of no private interpretation. It must be word by word the way it's written. We must believe that. And not only believe it, but live it. And if we don't live it, then we don't believe it. We just say that we do. So when you see a person claiming to be a Christian and yet they're acting certain ways and you know, they're doing immoral things or they got something on the side or whatever, listen. They don't believe it. They don't believe it's one word off. They say they do. A lot of churches say, oh, it's one word off. And then they do their little thing, little this. You know, well, I don't believe that word, but I believe this word. I believe everything Brother Branham said. I believe everything the teacher said. But then you start pointing out, well, but he said this and he said this. Well, you know what? It's progressive revelation. Listen, it's not progressive revelation. It's thus saith the Lord. The plan has been written. It's Brother Branham didn't teach anything that wasn't out of this book. He didn't come with something new. He came to restore that which was already given to us. This is God's plan. And I'm sorry, brother, sister, but if we do as Eve did, then we invite ourselves into ill health and everything else. You know, all dying and death happened because she said, she believed a lie that was told to her, oh, God's a good God, you're not going to die. God said the day you eat thereof, the day you die. Well, you know, you got to understand God. No. You got to believe God. You got to believe what he said. See? Now, from his sermon oneness, Brother Bram said, now, let's think seriously, because we're never able to be able to think anymore after this mortal life is over. Your thinking is now. You cannot choose after this. You must choose now. For this is the day of choosing, making your choice. Now, she, one word, not a whole decalogue, just one word. She questioned God because it was presented to her in the light that word was questionable. Well, God's word cannot be questioned. He meant just what he said, but she questioned it because it was presented to her. Oh, God surely didn't mean that, but he did mean that. God means every word he says. And it doesn't need any private interpretation. It's just the way that he said it. Look, what does it mean? The word of God is of no private interpretation. Well, the Baptists believe it's this way, and the denominational, say the Catholic believe it's this way, and the Lutheran believe it's this way, and Methodist believe it's. They all got their little beliefs. And that's formed by a bunch of men who got some type of a scholarship. You know, they went to a school and they studied this doctrine for so long, and so that's what they believe. Listen, if it's contrary, I don't care what it is, if it's contrary to what God said, Let every man's word be a lie, but mine be true, saith the Lord. You see? So it doesn't need any private interpretation. It's just the way he said it. Well, you say, well, how do you know about the Bible? I believe that my God has guided this Bible. He watches over his word. He knows that the atheists and infidels would rise up in the last days, so he watched over it. This is exactly the way God meant it. It's the way it is to us now. Now, we must believe it. One word off, and we lose our fellowship. We go off into death, eternal separation from God, just as Adam and Eve did. We must believe God's truth. And from his sermon on failing realities, Brother Anson, but the Holy Spirit will bring you back to Pentecost every time. They get in the scriptures to everybody, and it will be in this day to everybody. It'll bring you back to that reality. So he's not talking about, what people think Pentecost is, speaking in tongues and this and that. He's talking about the reality of the living presence of God in your midst. It'll bring you back to that reality. You'll know that you're walking with him. You'll know you're talking with him. You'll know you're in fellowship with him. It's not just, well, I go to church, I try to live a good life. I try to do the things that are right by people. And that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about knowing God. Knowing him. You see? But the Holy Spirit will bring you back to Pentecost every time. They get in the scripture to everybody, and it will in this day to everybody. It'll bring you back to that reality. It'll bring you back to a baptism of power of the Spirit that'll lead you and will never take one word off the Bible. It'll stay right in the Bible. Where it says this, it'll follow right on through it. The Holy Spirit will. It brings a reality. What did he do? He had to get these ignorant fishermen, didn't even have clothes, just something wrapped around him, fish aprons and so forth, no clothes, so ignorant they couldn't even sign their names. Unlearned, no education, but he found somebody. He had to get somebody. He found men in that kind of a state that was willing to surrender, that was willing. They had nothing else to hold on to. They didn't have no churches, any denomination or anything. They were just ignorant fishermen, sheep herders, didn't know how to write, didn't know how to read or nothing, but they had nothing to lose. And he got to them, and they surrendered. And they said, whatever you say, Lord, we'll do it. We'll follow you. Like Peter said on that great day, Peter said, well, where are we going to go? For thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Paragraph 33. Now, like I am basing back to what I said, those disciples, I could not explain it, but they believed it anyhow. And they made their confession and lived to it. And when all the rest of them walked away from it, they stayed with it. They believed it. That's the way we do. That's the way you've got to do, no matter what anybody else does. We believe it, and then we act upon it. If you don't do it, then you don't believe it. Again, he's saying, look, it's not just talk, talk, talk. People talk all the time. And there's nothing wrong with talking to one another about the word, but if you're not living it, you're a hypocrite. See? Revelation 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. So they do talk. They say the same thing. Notice, the evidence that you're bride is that you say the same thing the Spirit says. The Spirit says, come, you say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. So the evidence that you're hearing, which means you're understanding, is that you also will say the same thing the Spirit is saying. The Spirit says come, the bride says come, and those that hear say come. So we see that those who are hearing or understanding are saying the same thing. Now, this is not something new being said here. It's the same throughout the entire New Testament. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:13, he says, we having the same Spirit is who? Same Spirit is Jesus. We having the same Spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe. And therefore have I spoken, we also believed, and therefore he spoke. The same Spirit that wrote the Word, he says, I believe what he wrote, and therefore I speak what he wrote. See, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. God spoke his Word, then it was written by the prophets, written down by the prophets, God spoke it too. We have in the same Spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe. And therefore have I spoken, and we also believe, and therefore we speak. So we're going to speak what we believe, and we're going to speak by the same Spirit. The Spirit and the bride say, come. All right? So the fact that you are believing is evidenced or manifested by your speaking. Now notice the Spirit and the bride say the same thing. That is what John tells us here in Revelation 22. And Paul says tells us the same thing in 2 Corinthians 4:13, where he says, we having the same Spirit of faith. Now having the same Spirit of faith, of revelation. Having the same Spirit, we have the same revelation. I like that. Same Spirit, same revelation. That is what Paul is saying here. And when he says, according as it is written, I believe. Now, what was written? The Word. And in the beginning was the Word was with God, right? And of course, God is Spirit, right? So Paul says, as the Word is, that is what I have believed, and thus that is what I have spoken. According as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. So we're looking at the main thought here, is that we as the bride of Christ can only say what the Scripture says. And we say it because we believe it. Alright? Now, let's continue on in the book of Revelation chapter 22. And it says, and let him that is athirst come. Now, this does not say, let him that is athirst say come. So now we're seeing it's going beyond just speaking. Alright? It does not tell us that those who are thirsty will say the same thing here, but it tells us it moves from speaking to actually doing. She will do what has been spoken. She will do what has been heard. She has understood. Alright? Therefore, it is not just talking about it. It has to move into an action, which is act of faith, or it is not even believed. Speaking the same thing is just the start, but the life is where it has to go to. Now, let's continue our reading. And whosoever will, remember, the Spirit and the Bride say, and he that hears says, but then he that thirsts comes, there's an action, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Now that word freely means gratuitously, which means without payment. So she doesn't have to pay for what he gives her. She receives it freely. So we are looking at the word being echoed by the bride, echoed so much, until she comes to the place where not only is she echoing from her mouth, but her life is an echo. We become a written epistle, written and known of all men. Now, this is important to know and understand because Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And there's going to be many people out the gate who say, Lord, Lord, didn't we say it? Didn't we talk? Didn't we get together and we talked the word and all this other stuff? He said, yeah, but you didn't do it. You talked it, but you didn't do it. See? So we're looking at a movement from a passive faith, which where we are looking at or observing the word, and it must move into an act of faith where we are actually becoming the same word that we speak. You know, people say, well, you know, do what I say, but don't do what I do. No, that's wrong. If you can't do what I... If you can't do what you speak, then you shouldn't be doing anything. All right. You've got to do what you speak or you're a hypocrite. First of all, Thessalonians 2 and 4 says, but as we are allowed of God... Now, a lot of God to do what? To be put in trust with the gospel. And why did God gratuitously give us his good news? Even so we speak. As we were allowed of God to be put in trust of the gospel, this great sacred trust we have, which is his word, even so we speak the same thing. And then he adds, not pleasing men, but pleasing God, which tries our hearts. So when I'm speaking and I'm looking at his word and I'm reading it, and I'm speaking what God says about his word, I don't say, well, you know, I better say it this way in order to please this church over here, or say it this way to preach, to please this church over here. I'm going to say what God says, and I don't care if anybody receives what God says. I receive what God says. I'm going to say what God says, so long. That might be a hard way to do it, but if you're a Christian and you're on your way to heaven, and people aren't going to go to heaven with you, you got to say so long sometime. Right? So we see that God gratuitously allowed us to hear his word, that we might be trusted with the gospel in order to speak the gospel, and not to please men, but to please God. So you see, God wants us to speak, but before we can speak, we must understand what we're speaking, as we see in John 3:11. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak what we know. We speak what we do know, and testify what we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. All right? Now, if we only testify what we think will be received, then we would be respecters of men. But since we respect God and not man, then we have a liberty that others don't have. Because we are not constrained in our speech to men, because the only thing that constrains us is our love for God. It's the only thing that constrains you. Paul says, you know, the love of God constrains us. So we speak what God shows us to speak, and then we live it as well. Not for the sake of living it, but for the sake of others, that we might see the consistency, that they might see the consistency of our lives, speaks the same thing that we preach. In 2 Corinthians 12 and 19, we read, again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. So even though we're speaking what God says, we're living it too. And we're living it in order for you. Now remember, Jesus said, Father, I sanctify myself for their sake. See, the same thing that we're supposed to do. From seed shall possess the gate. He said, he possessed every gate of temptation. And how did he do it? He was a man. He was a man like you are, like I am. He had a right to be married. He had a right to have a home. He had a right to the things that we have. He had a right to have clothes. He could have done it. And man that could turn water into wine, that could know where the coin was in the fish's mouth, why, he owned the heavens and the earth. But yet he abstained from those things. And the sweetest words in the Bible when he said, Father, I sanctify myself that I might sanctify them. What was he trying to do? Set an example. All right, and Brother Rambo continues, said he was sending 12 men out with a gospel that would conquer the world, and he's depending on you and I to do that. If he could sanctify himself like that, why ought we to set aside every failure, every doubt, and everything else and sanctify ourselves? For we are the seed of Abraham through him, that are more than conquerors through him. Yes, he had a right to be married. He had a right to have a home. He had a right to lay his head on a pillow. But the foxes have dens and the birds have nests and the Son of Man don't have a place to lay his head. Why? Because I sanctify myself, Father. For their sake I do it. For their sake. Not because he had to, but for their sake he conquered every enemy. And from his sermon, Enticing Spirits, he said, Jesus, in his prayer, he said, Father, I sanctify myself. Jesus becomes sanctified to the church. He could have married, but he didn't do it. He becomes sanctified. He said, sanctify them, Father. To the truth. Thy word is truth. Now let's lay aside every weight. If you've got a temper and you got something about you that you can talk when you ought not to talk, oh God, lay it there now. Lay it there. Watch the fire of the altar come down and take it away. Watch the love of God lick it up. Watch all that old selfishness the way that you've been talking to your wife or the way that you've been talking to your husband, the way you've been talking to your neighbor, the way you talk about the people in the church, lay it on the altar this morning, and the fire of God will come down and take it away, and divine love will burn in its place. Instead of getting upset and, you know, if you don't have it your way, you know, and there's an old expression, if mom's not happy, nobody's happy. Well, why is that? It's not Christian. It's not scriptural. It shouldn't be that way. It's hormonal. Well, then get, like Paul says, get under your body, bring into subjection. Like the wrestler, he gets under his body, he lifts the man up in the air, and when he lifts the man up in the air, the man has no leverage to use against him. He's under total obedience to the one that's carrying him. You got to get under your body and bring it into subjection to God. You got to just say, Lord, I don't care about hormones. I don't care about any of this other stuff. Right is right. Scripture, scripture. I have no excuse because I know better. Okay. So we see in 1 Corinthians 2 and 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So God gives us the spirit that we might know. You see, same thing here, which things are gratuitously given. He says, are freely given to us of God, gratuitously given. Same thing John wrote in Revelation 22. Which things, those things that have been gratuitously given, we also speak. Not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So the things God has given us, that's what we say. That's what we give. All right? Now, from the sea shall not be air with a shuck. He said, if you don't know the word of God and the plan of God, you can easily be shook. But when you see God's plan, his program, then by faith you know it's God. And God identifying himself, doing just what he did in other times, walking and proving. That's the reason Moses could not be shook. He talked face to face with God and God told him. He said, I am the one that was with Abraham back yonder. I'm the one that made this promise. I'll be with you. Now, how are you going to stop the man then? As the prophet of old said, when the lion roars, who can but fear? And God has spoken, who can but prophesy? When we see things that God promised at this hour, we see it unfold. How can you stand still when you see that that's his way? What he said would happen. See, all the mysterious things. But that's just exactly the way God said it would take place. Now, I preached a message years ago. Maybe I should preach it again sometime for you. But it's called the hardening process. And I show how God, during the time of Moses, you know, people think like the Ten Commandments. Well, today he gave them frogs. Tomorrow he gives them lice. The next day he gives them this. The next day he gives them that. And, you know, the 10 plagues came in 10 days. No, it didn't. It might have been a year or 2 years or 3 years. We don't have the specific timeline of when God did those things. But what we do know is every time God brought a disaster, Pharaoh got soft, Then when God had a period of time, a period of peace, a period of rest, Pharaoh got hard again. And we know that when you do metal, when you process metal, you heat treat metal. And I think Brother John and Don and a few brothers would know this, that have worked in you know, those kind of things. Then you understand that every time you heat that metal up and you want to give it a certain tensile strength or whatever, eventually if you heat it too many times, it just becomes so brittle you can break it in your hands. And that's what God was doing to Pharaoh. He was just breaking Pharaoh. Trial, then peace. Trial, then peace. Trial, then peace. Tempering, 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 tempering until it could just be broken. And that's what God is doing with your spirit, my spirit. He gives you a trial, and then he gives you a period of time when you get over that trial. Then he gives you another trial. Then he gives you a period. And what does he do? He's breaking you down. And he's going to mold you and fashion you into his own image. Hallelujah. Now, 1 Corinthians 2 and 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So we see it is a mystery to them, but not to those who know the plan. It's all about the plan. Like the world freaking out last Friday night, thinking that we're going to go into World War III because they shot a bunch of missiles into Syria. But didn't Jesus tell us the plan? Did not he say in the gospel, as Brother Brown said in his sermon, Greater than Solomon is here, he said, we got the plan laid out in the Bible here. And of course, we find Jesus in Mark 13 and 3 and 7 says, and when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and they were, boy, the warmongers, the war rumors were really going Friday night. I mean, every channel, I don't have TV set, but my brother called me and said, oh, you gotta turn on Fox News. And so I went to the internet and turned it on. But I tried to get it, you know, the generals were all talking and all this. And we're just bombing the bejeebers out of Syria right now. We sent 109 missiles and this and that. And boy, we're really going to, and everybody else saying, oh, you know, Russia said there's going to be consequences. You know, you're going to get it. You know, and so we're going into World War III. Listen, this is what Jesus said, because we got to believe the plan. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of war, be you not troubled. Huh? Wars and rumors of war, and yet not be troubled. For such things must needs be, but the end shall not yet be. Or shall not be yet. Matthew 24 and 6. A second witness. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Second witness. Two's a witness. And three's a witness. Confirmation. Luke 21 and 9. But when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. So when is the end by and by? Because we hear wars, we hear rumors of wars, the war drums are beaten across the nation. O ye of little faith, believe the plan. Three times Jesus tells us the plan. Every word of it. For the plan cannot fail. It is thus saith the Lord. Now, did not the plan also tell us that the same God who came down with a shout, which is a message, will also bring forth a resurrection ministry and then a catching away? Well, let's just read the plan. Now, remember, Jesus said, do not be upset by wars and rumors of wars, for the end is not yet. Those things may have an effect upon the world, but they should not have an effect upon us. We are not children of darkness. We are children of the light. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13 says, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren. And that's the problem. Fear comes from ignorance. If you were to know the exact day and hour that this nation will be annihilated, you wouldn't have any fear up until maybe a few minutes before that day or hour. Right? 1 Thessalonians 4, 13, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So those that have no hope are the ones who are sorrowing. And when somebody passes off the scene, they sorrow because they have no hope. Well, I have hope, brother and sister. I have hope in a token. I have hope in salvation. I have hope of a body change. I have hope to be with my loved ones on the other side. And so why is that? Because he is going to lay down the plan. He says, you have hope, they don't have hope. You have hope, they don't have hope. And I'm going to lay down the plan. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep also in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the parousia, that's the presence of the Lord, that's the great appearing, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and we know the shout is the message, and guess what? He did it. But he's not finished yet, because the next thing is, and with the voice of the archangel, and we know that Brother Brown taught us that that is a resurrection, and finally with the trump of God, and that is a catching away, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, notice, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, and then means after the dead of Christ have risen up, after that, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds of glory to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And Brother Brown, I forgot to put the quote in. I'll put it in later on. But there's a quote from the Seventh Church Age, preached in 1954, where Brother Brown said, I used to think, you know, when I see that he's coming with clouds of glory, and I think, well, you know, when we die, we just go up and we're like a spirit, like a mist, and, you know, we're, and I see a little cloud over there, and I say, oh, hi, Brother Neville, and I see a cloud over there, and I say, you know, that's so-and-so, Brother so-and-so. He said, no, that's not it. He said, these bodies, we have a body terrestrial, and we have a body celestial, and that body celestial is, it looks just like the one we got here, only it doesn't age. And then, and Brother Brown said, and the clouds of glory, he said, you know, bless my mommy, she used to think that, you know, a great big thunderhead is going to come. He said, no, that's not it. It's clouds of glory. He said, wave after wave of his glorious presence. Wave after wave of his glorious presence. Shout, presence. Voice, presence. Catching away, presence. The parousia is a period of time. And according to Rotherham, and according to those that studied those things in, years ago, they said it's a series of events of divine interposition. He comes down, he vouchsafes his presence. In our songbook, Behold, we have 11 things that God does. I think it's in the beginning of the book. We have 11 things that God does during his appearing. Okay, it's in somewhere in the book here. I know because I put it together for them. All right. So, he comes as wave after wave of his glorious presence shall strike the earth. So, we have a first wave, we have a shout. Second wave, it's the same presence. His pillar of fire, look, you know, his pillar of fire was seen with William Branham. You know, see, this is the thing. I had a question from a brother, and just wondering, he said, you know, when we talk about, and he came in this week, and he said, you know, when we talk about the Son of Man, Son of God, Son of Man, and Son of David, he said, well, isn't Son of Man, wasn't it William Branham? And I said, what we're doing when we think of Son of Man being in Jesus, Son of Man being in William Branham, Son of God being in the church, universal, and then Son of David, you know, in Jesus and the Lamb. I said, well, what we're doing is we're looking at the vessel. But I said, who was it? You know, when we say the Alpha ministry must repeat in the Omega, are we saying the ministry of Jesus or the ministry of Paul? When we say in the Omega, it's got to be the same. Then I ask the question, whose ministry was it? Was it the ministry of Jesus or the ministry of Paul? No, it was the ministry of the pillar of fire. It was God. God was with Moses, and you know what? Moses was taken off the scene, but Joshua under the same pillar of fire led the people in. Hallelujah. God was in Jesus, and the same God that was in Jesus met Paul on the road to Damascus, and he said, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And Paul recognized it was God, the same God that led the children of Israel, same pillar of fire. That was two vessels in Moses' time. Now I believe the same God, same Son of Man, who was here in a prophet in this hour, the same pillar of fire is the Son of Man, because Brother Brown said, I'm not the Son of Man. We all know the quote. He said, I'm a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? The same pillar of fire that was with Paul, that was with Jesus, that was with Moses, that was with Joshua, is here. The same pillar of fire. Look, he even had his picture taken in those meetings over in Congo. All right? That's the same pillar of fire is leading us, not was or will be, is leading us to the millennium. He's here, brother, sister. We just gotta realize that we're not looking at a vessel. We're not looking at a veil. This whole sermon is about the unveiling of God. It's not the unveiling of William Branham. It's not the unveiling of Jesus the man. It's the unveiling of God. It's God. Hallelujah. The Alpha ministry was the ministry of God. The Omega ministry is a ministry of God. We've got to get our eyes off the vessels. The same Holy Spirit that ministered in the shout is the same Holy Spirit that will minister in the resurrection. It's the same Holy Spirit that's ministering now. Get your eyes off the vessels. All right. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the parousia, which is a period of time of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, that's the message, with the voice which is the resurrection and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds of glory to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Like Brother Brown said, when that wave of the resurrection comes, first wave, he said, my generation. Second wave, be my father's generation. Third wave, be my grandfather's generation. All the way back to the first generation, Paul's generation. Hallelujah. Wave after wave of his glorious presence strikes the earth. Up they come, up they come, up they come. Now listen, this is the plan, and we are to talk about the plan when we hear of wars and rumors of wars, because the plan cannot fail. Because the plan, believe the plan and trust the plan. And then Paul goes on to say in the next chapter, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Don't worry about the times and seasons. This is the problem. Russia's talking about bombing the USA. Listen, they've been talking about that since the 1940s and 50s. What was the Cuban crisis all about in the 60s? I mean, when I was in school, and those old enough to know, brother Derek's mother and Brother Michael, although you weren't in the United States at the time, but we were taught to get under our desks, you know, if there was a flash, get under your desk, you know, as if the desk was going to save you from a nuclear annihilation. But everybody was building bunkers and building this and building that, and, you know, underground, and people were in fear. And they kept the people in fear because, you know what? It sells newspapers. It sells media time on NBC and ABC and CNN and all these media-driven, advertising-driven menus. But of the times and season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. I'm not going to tell you the time and the season. And why is that? Because he's given us the plan. Believe the plan. Trust the plan. Shout, voice, trump. Shout, voice, trump. Message, resurrection, out of here. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. It's not going to be a great universal understanding. In other words, God does not broadcast his next move. But he gives you clues, and the clue is that there will be a season when he comes and brings with him a shout, which is a message, and then he will remain with us to bring forth a resurrection, and then he will remain through that period of time to catch us up with him. So believe the plan, trust the plan, for the plan is thus saith the Lord. Now, remember Jesus said that there would be wars and rumors of wars, and those things are supposed to come, but he said the end is not yet. That is part of the plan, but the end will not come until after the resurrection and the catching away. Because right after that, he tells us the plan. He says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with a child. Doesn't a woman with a child, doesn't she go through labor pains? Push, squeeze. You know, I mean, it's a squeeze, really, what it is. It's a push. Your contraction, that's a squeeze. We've got to go through a squeeze. There's got to be, okay, there's got to be the birthing. Listen, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. And we are not in darkness, so why do we worry about Russia and all the rumors of war that are going on in the MSM? That is to drive up revenues for their advertisers. Believe the plan, and the plan says God will come down with a message, and we've already witnessed that. Well, if that part of the plan is true, then the next part says the same God will raise the dead, and just as the shout was a ministry to get us ready, so will the resurrection be a ministry, or God changes, and is not the same yesterday, today, and forever. So busy yourself with studying the plan. And you will have comfort in knowing the plan and talk about the plan. He said, comfort one another with these words. And remember, when they began to talk about peace and safety, which was Trump's slogan, campaign slogan, then you will know the plan is in its windup. Now, a slogan is not an actual thing. The slogan is the promise, what he wants to happen. People are all wadded up, tight like drums. Oh, North Korea's going to nuke us. North Korea's going to nuke us. And people in the mess say, I don't see how that could be possible. It's going to be Russia. You see, the plan said Russia, not North Korea. And all these Pentecostals are, you know, just wound up, oh, we're going to get nuked. You know, there was a nuke that was sent to Hawaii. Then the government said, oh, that was a mistake. You know, they did. No. The insiders said, no, it wasn't a mistake. It was a renegade deep state in China. You see, China's got a deep state. Russia's got a deep state. We've got a deep state. UK's got a deep state. They've all got their deep state. They're all tied together. It's a global New World Order satanic system. They've got their deep states. But God has a plan. Trust the plan. Believe the plan. All right? A vindicated prophet said, watch Russia. And Jesus told us not to worry when there's talk of war or rumors of war. But when the talk dies down and they finally say, peace and safety is here. That is what we need to keep our eyes open for, because that will tell you how close we are getting out of here. I believe this administration has no desire to go to war with Russia. And I believe Putin has no desire to go to war with the United States. And I believe that Chi, or whatever his name is, has no desire to go to war. But their deep state generals do. So these three men, you just pray for all three of them, that they could keep things until they get to the point where we're ready. Because let me just say this. What we saw in Syria was Trump said to Russia, we're going to send the missiles. Okay, what did Russia say? Okay, they're going to send the missiles. We pull our ships out. We pull our people away from those places because they told them what coordinates they're going to go for. They all escaped. Just like a year ago, the same thing happened. We sent missiles and we blasted an airport, and 2 hours later, the airport was in use again. We blasted a bunch of buildings they had taken the planes out of. They had taken the people away from. We did this show. It was all for the show. So people think, oh, they're really doing it. No, it's a show. Same thing that took place the other day. So don't listen to the MSM. It's all about advertising money. They got to have something like they did when they had the shock and awe. And they're all in there broadcasting this and that. It's all about revenue. Forget it. Believe the plan. Trust the plan. From escape hither, come quickly, Brother Ramson. I want you to notice in the days of Lot. That's the reason I believe that the church will go before any missile ever hits the earth till it explodes it. I'm not a theologian. I can't read much because I have no education. But I'm a typologist, and I noticed that the type was. If I see what my shadow looks like, I'll have some conception of what I'll look like. Now, did you notice not one drop of rain could fall until Noah went into the ark, as it was in the days of Noah? All right. The clouds was hanging over, the thunder and lightning a roaring, but no rain fell till Noah went into the ark. And the angel said to Lot, I can't do nothing till you come hither. No fire could fall. Not one drop of brimstone hanging in the skies could ever fall on Sodom till Lot went out. That's correct. Jesus said, just as it was then, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Certainly, there'll be a going home of the church one of these nights or mornings or sometime before one missile can strike this earth in judgment. Hallelujah. Believe the plan. Before judgment comes, the church will go home. And if judgment's hanging so close till you can see it, the handwriting on the wall or in the sky, where they can get in those Sputniks, or two or three bombs would end the whole thing, and they just could do it if they wanted to, and we see it, how much more could Jesus come this very hour and take his church away? Not one thing is left but his coming. That's right. And we said as if, well, I've heard that before, and reject it. From 1 Corinthians 2 and 6, we read, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, them that are mature. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the prince of this world, that comes to nothing. And the wisdom we speak is the plan. Comfort one another with the plan. All right? Now, let's go back to Revelation 22:18. For I testify unto every man that heareth, that understandeth, the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these words, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now notice the key here is saying those who understand. He's not speaking of ignorant unlearning. He said, he that heareth my word, he that understands my word, to add or take away, you get the plagues. See? So this concerns a willful changing or going against the word of God, which is the plan of God. He's not talking about your kids that say, oh, Dad, I don't understand that. Oh, Dad, you know, I don't believe that. That's ignorance. He's talking about those who do understand and they say otherwise. Oh, yeah, William Branham, he never missed 10,000 times. Thus saith the Lord, and he never missed. But I don't believe his doctrine. That's a willful ignorance right there. See? From hearing, recognizing, and acting upon the word, he said, but the church spiritual, able by revelation, by God's grace, he's seen beyond that, and by faith he offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and a testified of his righteousness, and God, the same thing took place in Ishmael and Isaac. One was of the flesh, the other one was by the spirit, one by bondswoman, one by a free woman. It happened the same thing in Israel and Moab, two great churches coming together, and when Israel was wanting to go to their promised church spiritual, Jacob's people, Israel on the road, Esau's people met them. Moab, the church powerful, and the great leader of the church, Balaam, came down to curse his brother, but he found that he could not curse his brother. He failed with the blindness of his eyes to see the predestinated plan and to see the word of God. First, faith cometh by hearing the word of God. Then the believer hears it, recognizes it, and acts on it. The carnal man will hear it, the sound of it, but hear means to understand. See, look at is looking at something, but to see it is to understand it. Except a man be born again, he cannot see, he cannot understand the kingdom of God. Now that means he can't understand it. And many people think they know the message because they've heard the tapes. But as Brother Branham said, saying you believe every word just means that you can read. From the token, now listen, that's a great message. He said it was one of the greatest, most powerful messages he ever preached. From the token, he said, now just don't come this far and say, well, I believe the message. You obey the message. Come into Christ. You say, oh, I believe every word you say, Brother Brown. That's good, but that is just being able to read. Take the message, take it into your heart, that you must have the token, the very life that was in Christ being you. When I see that, I will pass over you. See, it's not good enough to say the proof of God is here, the presence of God is here, hallelujah, and we'll just go out and eat, drink, and be merry. No. He said, you recognize that his presence is here, and it ought to bring your life into a subjection to him. It ought to make you aware that sin is not pleasing to God. Now, from God provided a way of healing, he said, now you say, sure, Brother Bram, I believe in divine healing. Now, maybe you mean that with all the intelligence that you know how to speak it. You believe it. And that's in your head. But remember, there's a subconscious down in here that's got to say the same thing. If it doesn't, you'll never go nowhere. You might get it. The Bible says, well, Brother Brown, the Bible says this. That's true. That's exactly right. There's where people say today, well, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and I'm saved. Well, how do you know that he's the Son of God? Well, the Bible says so. Well, see, and I say, well, how do you know that he's the Son of God? Well, mother said so. Or the preacher said so. Well, they're right. But how do you know? Well, the Bible said you cannot know it until you have received the Holy Ghost. You're only taking somebody else's word. How many people are taking the word of Paul? Or taking the word of John? Or taking the word of William Branham? Well, I just believe it because he said so. No, you got to know it yourself. You have to have the same relationship with God that they had, or you don't know. You just think up here. It's all in your mind. The Holy Ghost in you has to bear record to the resurrection. Where? In you. And Jesus being the Son of God, or you're only taking somebody else's word for it. You're only taking what the Bible says. The Bible's right. Or you're only taking what the minister says. Well, the minister's right. Or what some other good person says. They're right, but you as an individual doesn't know that Jesus is the Christ until the Holy Ghost has brought it into you. That's right. And that is why he also said, from it shall be even as it was told to be. He said, no matter what it looks like here, we don't look at what we see, we look at what we do not see. Is that right? Anyhow, you see, to see doesn't mean to look at. The word see means to understand. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, he cannot understand the kingdom of God until he's born again. See, you have to accept it by faith, and then when he comes into you, you understand it. See, there's a lot of people that they think they believe the message, but he says, you got to have the message in you. From seeing God, he said, now, how blind a person must be that can't see life. And think that many people doesn't see life. Now, we might see it, but the word see doesn't mean to look at. The word see means to understand it. Now, Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Now, in order to be looking at something, and you say, well, I don't see it, you mean you don't understand it. To see, now what we call see, that's to look. But to see, in the Bible terminology, is to understand what we're looking at to be revealed. And from Mary's belief. This is a very good quote here. He said, now listen, friends, don't take a substitute. Don't just shake a man's hand and put your name in the book. That's as far as it goes. That's all right. It might help you to get out of the saloon and get into a decent place and try to live right. But that won't do it, though. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, see means to understand. There's a lot of people that say they're born again and can't understand the message. They can't understand the message of God. They can't see the angel of the Lord. Their eyes are blinded. Brother, except a man be born of the Holy Ghost, the same Holy Ghost that wrote the Word will confirm the Word, and the same confirmation of the Holy Ghost in you. See what I mean? It will bear record of itself. Then our spirit bears record with His Spirit, because His Spirit bears record with His Word. The Word of God is sharper, more powerful, Hebrews 4, than any two-edged sword, piercing to asunder and the marrow of the bone, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's thus saith the Lord, the Lord's Word. Just exactly, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, appearing in His elected church. So what's Brother Bram saying? If you're going to go in the rapture, you've got to be rapture-worthy. And the only way you can be rapture-worthy is to have the same one who performs a rapture in you. Remember, he said, if the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it'll quicken your mortal body. See? So, you know, we hear the term a lot lately, trust the plan. But unless you know the plan and understand the plan, how can you put trust, how can you put blind trust in a plan? That is why God vindicates His Word, because in the absence of total understanding of the plan, we can still have faith in the one who is the author of the plan. He's the author and finisher. That He will not leave you nor forsake you. From spiritual food in due season, he said, now remember, he went into his secret place by the plan. Hallelujah. By the plan of God. By the call of God. By the word of God. Elijah entered into a secret place by God's foreknowledge, his plan, and the call upon his life, and according to the word. And if that ain't the way that we entered, I don't know how we get there. And notice, before the drought began, Elijah went into this place of secret for his living. And a very type of before the judgment starts to strike the earth, the church is already called out. The bride's already chosen. And just waiting before the judgment strikes, already waiting, eating the food of God, enjoying the blessings of God. Any man in his normal mind knows that we're headed straight. We're right in the hour of judgment. So what do we should be doing right now? Eating the food of God and enjoying the blessings of God. And not worrying about the judgment, because it doesn't protect. It doesn't have anything to do with us. In his sermon, Pardon, Brother Bram said, now, from Adam until now, man has tried to make his own substitute. He tries his best to do something a little better than what God did it then. And that's just natural in man. Man is always trying to better something, to make it a different way. He wants to inject his own ideas into the plan of God. And that's why we stand tonight separated, the Christian people of the world, by barriers, by denominational barriers. It does this because that man has injected his own idea into God's plan. And so Satan and his worshipers want a one-world government, and that's their plan. But God has a plan for a one-world government that will be upon his shoulders. And his plan will be put into effect by his shout, voice, and trump at his parousia. And we are comforted by that. Then he will take us to his kingdom. Now, from the first seal, Brother Brown said, and we're getting ready to close. He said, "Let the Father's throne came forth to in his son to be. He is the son of David." That's what Israel thought he would do then. Now, remember the Syrophoenician woman. She said, "Thou son of David," and remember blind Bartimaeus, "Thou son of David." See, and Jesus, knowing what the plan was, yet he didn't. Yet they didn't know it. They tried to force him to take the throne. And even Pilate asked him, But he said, if my kingdom was of this world, then my subjects would fight. My kingdom is above. But he said, when you pray, pray that thy kingdom come, thine will be done here like it is in heaven. Amen. What a glorious thing this was. So even during the whole trial and ordeal and the people trying to puff Jesus up, you know, he rode in on a donkey and they said, okay, we've got Messiah, the son of David. And so they tried to make him king and all these other things. And he said, no, it's not time yet. He knew the plan. Oh, but Russia, he said they're going to retaliate and this and that. Know the plan. The plan is wars and rumors of wars. The plan is when they say peace and safety. When all this commotion is gone and they're going to finally have peace in the Middle East. Because peace and safety. And when they have peace, they're going to have safety. And when you see that happen, then know the time is at, well, we'll be in a resurrection at that time. We'll be enjoying a time, a period of time, 40, maybe 50 days. Resurrection period. Hallelujah. It's going to happen, brother, sister. Because when we leave, what happens? The two witnesses come to Israel. Alright, then tribulation begins. From his sermon, look, Brother Brown said, that's what every genuine believer has to do. Separate yourself from these doubters and unbelievers and walk with Christ. It's life to you. And Abraham did such a thing, and 25 years later, we find him still believing the same promise. Why? He had focused his mind to the will of God. He had focused on the plan by the word of God and believed it. If we can focus ourselves to the plan of God, to what God wants for us and what God has promised us, and let everything else alone, no matter how long it is, just keep believing the plan. Romans 4. Here we find Romans 4:14. He said, and he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He didn't let unbelief contaminate him at all. He looked to one thing, and that was the voice that spoke to him. Now, we should be looking for only one thing this morning, and that is for the same voice that brought forth the shout to bring forth the resurrection. That's what we have to be looking forward to. From Satan's Eden, he said, whatever he said would take place, he said it would happen in these last days, that we would do certain things, and he done it. He has to ask nobody whether it's time or not. He knows what the time is and what the plan is. You see, God has a plan. In closing, let me just read a few more quotes from God's vindicated prophet about the plan for this hour. From his sermon, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. He said, now Noah knew because he had not got his ministry from some school of education, but he had talked face to face with God. And he knew that there was coming a flood. And he knew that the rains would pour out of the skies like rivers opening up, although it was firmly against scientific matters in that day. The scientists no doubt criticized Noah, and they said, we can scientifically prove to you that there is no water up there, for they were a great age then, greater than we are today, more scientific than we are today. And you know, Jesus referred to it, he said, as it was in the days of Noah, how they built the Sphinx and the pyramids and the things that we could not even touch the building of today, and they were great scientists, and they had colors and things and embalming fluid in that day that they could make a mummy, and we could not do it today if we had to. They were further advanced than we are, and they could prove that there was no water there, but just the same, it was becoming to Noah after he knowed the plan of God that he hammered away on the ark. And just the same, for he knowed that only the ark would be the only thing that would float, no matter if it was scientifically proven that there was no water there. If the word of God had said it would rain, it's going to rain. And from blind Bartimaeus, he said, call everything that's happened contrary to that, call it wrong. Cast it aside and stick to the plan. And from Father, the hour has come. He said, if you want to see visions, if you want to see, be right, stay in the Word. God works right in that Word. In the Word, that's the plan, see. And from infallible Word of God, he said, this marvelous great bridge, oh my, as my colored friends used to sing, it's a highway to heaven and we're walked up the King's highway. Truly all over, Jesus has finished, everything is completed. Jesus would have not sat down if he had not completed the work. No man sits down until his job is over. That's right. And when Jesus took his blood and went through the heavens of heaven and condemned every devil, took the keys of the kingdom and hell and sat down, when he died at Calvary, he bowed his head, and as far as the atonement was made and everything that you've got need of in this journey from earth to glory, he screamed, it is finished. There can be nothing else added to it, nothing else taken from it. That settles it. The Bible is finished. The plan of God is finished. The atonement is made. The devil is defeated. And the only thing we have to do is to look and live. So I say to you this morning, believe the plan and trust the plan. From the ark, Brother Branham said, and today men are stricken blind because they are rejecting God's mercy. That only leaves judgment left. But God in His love and mercy has so appropriated a way that before divine judgment ever strikes, there is a way. God makes a way of escape for all of those who desire to follow that way. That's the mercies of Him, making a way of escape, not willing that any should perish, for all would come to repentance. He's in the world today showing signs and wonders and raising up people, great things taking place, showing signs in the heaven above and on the earth, signs and signs of flying saucers through the air, where even the Pentagon and all don't know what to think of it. Signs in the heaven above and on earth, the healing of the sick, the raising of the dead, the opening of the blind eyes, the casting out of evil spirits, the gospel being preached, signs before His coming. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should might be humbly, sweetly bowed to repentance. But those who reject Christ have to walk blind. And what if I today was to reject, to have my eyesight, letting it be put out? If I refuse to keep my eyes, I take something and stab them out. I don't want to see them. I don't want to see them. That's the way it is spiritually. If a man refuses to look into God's Word and see the plan and see God, he automatically puts out his eyes. He himself shuts up his eyes to the things of God. What a day, what a time. What a lesson we ought to learn today from looking around at the end time. See, because look, the end time is going to give you everything but the plan. They're going to show you what looks, oh, this is imminent. They're going to do it. No, they're not. Not until there's peace and safety. Not until there's a shout, voice, and trump all fulfilled. Not until the catching away is gone. Then, when all the stuff, there's peace and safety. Oh, we're now living in a time of peace. And hasn't that been the administration, not just this one, every administration for the last four or five? Oh, there's got to be peace. Got to be peace. They're all striving for peace, and they're doing it the backwards. Now, from faith once delivered to the saints, now the Catholic Church wants to say it is built upon Peter and the little stone. The Protestant Church says it's upon Christ the cornerstone. But look at the scripture. It wasn't upon either. It was upon the spiritual revelation that God gave Peter. The same thing He gave Abel at the rock, the altar. He gave Abel spiritual revelation of what the plan of God was. And He gave Peter, not by flesh and blood, not by saying prayers or going to church, but by spiritual revelation. Blessed art thou, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but My Father which is in heaven has revealed it to you, and upon this rock I'll build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, you see why we have so many different denominations. You see why we have so much confusion. One believing this and another believing that. Because the spiritual revealed truth has to come through God alone. The word is hid from the eyes of the wise and prudent, God said. And He reveals it to babes such as would learn. So be a baby, humble yourself and say, oh God, here I am. Just make yourself known to Me. I love You. God will reveal Himself to you. He will make Himself known. So just surrender your own thinking to the thoughts of God, and you will see the plan. And you will believe the plan. And you will trust the plan. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank You for Your word, Lord. It's very timely for us. And we're so thankful for the revelation that You gave us to see these things. And Lord, we just ask You to help us to trust the plan, to believe it and to trust it, and to walk in it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So while the world is rumors of wars and all these other things, Jesus said, don't worry. Be at peace. It is not yet. Just trust the plan.